Many of the examples used in the teaching of our Savior Jesus Christ were from everyday events which happened around him. In much the same way, modern-day prophets teach us by their daily example. The simple, powerful message is, "Come, follow me." May I share with you some of the teaching moments I have learned from a modern-day prophet? We can learn much from the courage shown by President Kimball as he has endured his many illnesses. He is a living prophet by overcoming pain and adversity. We can cleanse our soul and know that our faith and testimony in Jesus Christ will do the same that it has done for him. Indeed, in terms of the trials he has had to face, he is in many ways a modern-day Job. The story of Job in the Old Testament relates three of the great tests we all should be prepared to face at some period in our lives. First, temporal setbacks. Job lost all he owned. Second, physical illness. Illness that will test our faith and testimony. Third, depression. Job said, "Why died I not from the womb? My soul is weary of my life." But the great lesson of Job is that in all this, Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly. Too often when adversity strikes, we use it for a justification to commit sin and turn away from the teachings of Jesus Christ, the prophets who lead us, our families and friends. Job maintained his testimony and was blessed with an unwavering faith that he knew that God lived and he dwelt in his presence. President Kimball, being a righteous man like Job, has endured many trials, cancer of the throat, heart surgery, boils, cranial surgery, and numerous other afflictions. President Kimball's experiences serve as an example of how we should meet similar adversity and suffering in our lives. President Kimball has not sinned nor charged God foolishly. He has kept his integrity, his testimony to sing the praises of his Lord throughout his many physical trials. We have never heard him complain about his trials. On the contrary, his challenge has been, "Give me that mountain to climb." The courage and faith of President Kimball to overcome adversity is an example to all of us to testify that we too can meet the other little aches and pains, but that are little hurts in comparison to what he has had. In fact, after his throat operation, President Kimball had no voice. During a testimony meeting, President McKay asked him to bear his testimony. He could not speak a word. He only could utter inaudible, breathy sounds. He wrote a note to President McKay afterwards and asked, "Why would you do that to me?" The president answered, "Spencer, you must get your voice back, for you have a great mission to perform." What a moving example of love from one prophet to another. President Kimball was obedient. He learned how to trap air in his esophagus, to use the scar tissue of his remaining vocal cord, and regained his voice to carry on his great work. The accomplishments of President Kimball's prophetic mission will stand equal to any in this or any other dispensation. Camilla has devotedly and lovingly followed President Kimball every step of the way. I remember one night in Samoa, when both President and Sister Kimball had temperatures of 104 degrees. Early the next morning, they were the first ones on the bus. He conducted the meetings and they fulfilled all their busy schedule throughout the day, not just enduring, but being gracious and considerate and thinking of the needs of everyone else around them. When President Kimball was called to the Council of 12, he accepted his call with humble tears. He wondered if he was worthy of such a great calling. After he hung up the telephone, it was Camilla who reassured him, "You can do it, Spencer. You can do it." President Kimball taught me a lesson during my call to become a general authority. He asked if I'd come to Salt Lake City to be a general authority for the rest of my life. I was overcome with emotion. My reply, "President Kimball, I just don't know what to say." Then he said, "I only want you to say yes." The lesson was clear. There is no need for an eloquence of speech to express our commitment or our love or devotion when accepting a call from the prophet. He already knows these things. President Kimball always reaches out with sincere love to touch the one. We were preparing for an area conference briefing, and as I entered President Kimball's office, he was seated at a typewriter, his back toward the door. He had just finished typing, spun around in his chair to greet me. In one hand was a 32-page letter from a young man who had read his book, Miracle of Forgiveness, and in the other, his personally typed reply to answer the special needs of a young man who wanted and needed his help to repent. The message was a clear one. It was a message that said, no matter how busy you are, young man, never forget those who need your help. He bears his missionary testimony as a special witness without the fear of man. I have observed it. At Copenhagen, Denmark Area Conference in August of 1976, President Kimball went to Thorvaldsen's beautiful sculpture, The Christus, the resurrected Christ, which had been reproduced, as you know, for the visitor centers in Salt Lake and Los Angeles. After a few spiritual moments admiring the Christus, President Kimball bore his testimony to the caretaker who stood nearby. As he turned to the statue of Peter and pointed to the large set of keys in Peter's right hand, he proclaimed, "The keys of priesthood authority which Peter held as president of the church, I now hold as president of the church in this dispensation." And then he stated to the caretaker, "You work every day with apostles in stone, but today you are in the presence of living apostles." He then introduced President Tanner, Elder Monson, and Elder Packer. He presented the caretaker with a Book of Mormon in Danish and bore his testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith. The caretaker was moved to tears as he acknowledged the spirit of being in the presence of a prophet and apostles. He acknowledged to me later as we left the church, "Today I have been in the presence of servants of God." President Kimball works with loving diligence, with all of his heart, might, mind, and strength. He does not demand nor expect those around him to work at his pace, but at their pace. But he is a man of action, demonstrated by the simple sign on his desk that says, "Do it." For those who work with him, his example eliminates phrases such as, "I'll try," "I'll do my best." His example and love motivates those who follow his example to achieve higher goals and lengthen their stride toward perfection. He has that rare ability to encourage each of us to do better than our best and to keep striving until we exceed our goals. During the planning and preparation for the Mexico, Central, and South America area conferences in February 1977, we were scheduled to hold meetings in La Paz, Bolivia, which is 12,000 feet above sea level. Dr. Ernest L. Wilkinson and Dr. Russell M. Nelson advised us that President Kimball should have 4 to 6 hours rest to acclimate his heart and blood pressure to the high altitude. President Kimball is very tightly scheduled during area conferences, and this allows little time for rest. In reality, the doctors accompanied the general authorities so that we could keep up with President Kimball. I talked with President Tanner and President Romney to seek their assistance in getting President Kimball to rest in La Paz before the start of the area conference. They only smiled and said, "You can try." Detailed plans were presented to the first presidency for area conferences in Mexico, Central, and South America. I saw President Kimball make two small red check marks next to La Paz, Bolivia, where there were two meetings that he was not scheduled to attend. "What are these meetings? Why am I not attending?" he asked. There was that pause which I had felt a number of times before. Then I replied, "That's a rest period, President Kimball." And he remarked, "Are you tired, Elder Hales?" We arrived in La Paz, and the first meeting was a cultural event. He would not rest. My head ached. It felt as though it would explode in the adjusting to the altitude as we breathed oxygen to attempt to speed up and acclimate ourselves to the 12,000-foot altitude. But President Kimball took no oxygen. He greeted, embraced, and shook the hands of 2,000 saints. After the last meeting, he invited 1,000 more of his beloved Lamanites who'd come down from the Altiplano to come shake his hand. They came and embraced him and shook his hand vigorously. He wanted to show his love for his Lamanites. Dr. Wilkinson was concerned with the president's vigorous activity at 12,000 feet and approached him. He asked him the question if it'd be possible for him to stop soon. President Kimball said to him, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't ask me that question. President Kimball is driven by the knowledge that we are preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. He knows that it is his responsibility, along with those who are chosen to work with him, to take this message to all nations in their own tongue and language. President Kimball told the general authorities, "I am not afraid of death. What I am afraid of is that I will meet the Savior and he will say, 'You could have done better.'" Can you feel the dedication, the urgency of a president's voice to move the kingdom forward? Are you tired, Elder Hales? Has a way of ringing in my ears when I rest for a moment. If we knew what President Kimball knew, then we too would work with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. When we tried to save his strength, he'd say, "I know you're trying to save me, but I don't want to be saved. I want to be exalted." He then would tell us that the Lord would sustain him as a prophet, and he'd not slow the church down because of him. The prophet Joseph Smith was counseled, "My son, peace be unto thy soul. Thine adversity and thine affliction shall be but for a small moment, and then if thou endure it well, God shall exalt thee on high. Thou shalt triumph over all thy foes. Thy friends do stand by thee, and they shall hail thee again with warm hearts and friendly hands." In testimony, I ask the Lord's blessings upon us, that we might feel the urgency of this great work, to understand what drives our prophet. He is a missionary because he knows that all mankind must be taught the Spirit by the Spirit and be baptized. Then, if we live worthy, we will attain eternal life and be exalted and return into the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ to dwell with them throughout eternity. And one time, closing conference, President Kimball said, "My people say, 'Lord, Lord,' and do not what I say. I bear you my testimony that a prophet leads this church today by revelation, and that it is my prayer that we will say, 'Lord, Lord,' and do as our prophet and those to whom lead this church today, that we will follow their example, is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."